saved, say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. You can take your bulletins, open it up to the center portion, Proverbs chapter 8. If you don't have a bulletin, you can turn in your Bible. If you don't have a bulletin, as a matter of fact, raise your hand. One of these guys will bring one to you. We want you to have one, especially if you're one of our guests. We'd like for you to have a bulletin, but either in your Bible in Proverbs 8 or right there in the center part of the bulletin. I'm going to ask an old friend and a good friend, Chris Rule, if he'll come to the platform, be ready to open us in prayer in just a moment. He's not old, he's an old friend. He can't be old. If he's old, I'm real old. I know that Mom and Dad are glad to have the whole crew in town, and that's awesome. That is awesome. He said to me yesterday, he said, I was trying to get them to fly out there, but they said, no, you fly over here. So I know they're having a good time. Proverbs 8, verses 12 through 17. I'll read the first verse. If you'll follow along, read together on the bold print verses 13, 15, and 17. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions.
The fear of the Lord is the main thing.
Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Seek wisdom while you can. Seek it while it can be found. Seek it early. Seek it now. That's just as pertinent as it gets for us this morning. I'm so glad Chris is here, that all the family's here. I'm going to ask him if he will pray for us this morning. He's been serving out in near San Francisco for, you said, almost 8 years, right around 8 years, as a youth pastor and a school administrator. A lot of responsibilities, but I know he's up to the task. I know the Lord's blessed him, and I'm glad he's my friend.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. God, we do pray that you would meet with us here today. Lord, we've got two or more gathered together. Lord, we want to seek your face today. We want to hear from you. We want to listen to the word of God. We want to have the music change our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd allow us to be inspired. Lord, touch us by the Spirit today. Help us to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would just be in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's good to see you this morning. Let's take a hymn book. Turn to page 294. This is the Gospel in Song. Let's stand as we sing One Day, 294. On the first now.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth.
Buy since one.
but I don't think that you're giving it your best just yet. I think you're warmed up now. On the last verse, and we get to the chorus now, I want you to really lift the roof. If you will, please, on the last, together now.
One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine.
Said.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. And until then, we just press on. We press on to higher ground. Listen to the Rogers play this beautiful song, Higher Ground. God bless you. I like it. I like that a lot. All right. We are so thrilled each and every one of you are here this morning. We're especially glad that our guests are here. Of course, I know the rules are glad to have their crew in, but they're not really visitors. They're guests, but they're not visitors. But some of you may be visiting for the first time, or maybe you haven't been to the home place in a long time, and we want to have a record of your time here with us this morning. Here's what we'd like you to do. One of two things. We need you to have one of those bulletins in your hand. I mentioned that a minute ago, that we'd like for everyone to have one, but especially our guests. If you don't have one of these, we need you to raise your hand, and these guys, whether you've guessed or not, we want everybody to have one, but especially our guests, but these guys will bring you one. Just hold your hand up and keep it up long enough for these guys to get one in your hands, and here's why. Once you get that, hold it up till they get it to you. If you'll open it up, you'll find a little section on the right side that you can tear off. It's perforated for you to tear off, and you'll see as it faces you there when you open it, it says, Welcome Visitors. Just fill that out right there, and then in just a few moments, you can drop this in the offering plate. That will allow us to have that record of your time with us. But what we prefer you do with it is right after the service to bring this with you. And if you brought a guest with you this morning, you can just bring that along and bring them with you and take them to our guest reception area. But whether you're with somebody here this morning or not, or came on your own, right out those back double doors in the back of the auditorium, and just to your right, we have a special area set up just to meet and greet you for a little while. There's some refreshments. There's some special gifts there so that later on you can enjoy maybe a couple of gallons of gas or a cup of coffee or a sandwich at Chick-fil-A or something on us, just as a reminder of your time with us. But we want that to be just a time where you can relax, ask us any questions you have about the home place, and allow us just to get to know you a little bit better. We'd love to have that. Make sure you get one of these. Fill it out. If you can't stick around, then put that in the offering plate. And we appreciate that as well, but we'd much rather get to spend the time with you if we can. There's a lot of announcements. There's a lot going on. I'm going to mention four just briefly here real quick. The children's musical coming up, keep that in mind, August 11th. That'll be a big deal. Those folks have been working hard. Very big event coming up, the Scribe, at the end of next month. We've got a few weeks to get into preparation mode for that, but you need to go ahead and be inviting folks not to come here, but to come to your house. And if you need some help with getting either a Roku or something that will allow you to tune in to live stream the Scribe from in this auditorium that night, we have the guys that are set and ready to do that. I know Robert Shaw is he's scheduling times to go to people's houses and do this, and you can get in touch with him about how all that works. He and Daniel Rogers are heading up a lot of that. So get in touch with these guys, and let's begin. Just have your house packed out and put some chicken on the grill and have a few vegetables there and some dessert, and then let folks sit down and have the gospel presented to them in a wonderful, unforgettable way. And, man, let's see if God just doesn't do something great. This is going everywhere. Brother Paul Pitts is taking those Scribe cards down to Rio for his time at the Olympics. He'll be performing down there, and he wants folks down there. You don't have to be in Orange City. You can be anywhere. And so we've got folks all over the place that are getting involved. So be praying for this and do your part as well. Now, this week, big week, it's Vacation Bible School. We have VBS starting tomorrow night, running through Thursday night, and you're going to want to be here Thursday night. You're going to want to be here. That's our closeout service every year. I believe it was this past year we did the big color run, and I think some of your cars maybe had a little bit of color added to them that night. I don't know how close you parked to the track. That was a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun. This year, our theme, as you see up there, is Climbing and Claiming Mountains. We're talking about Caleb, and we're going to have teams, Joshua's team and the Caleb team, and they're going to compete all week long, but we're going to finish it out this Thursday night. We'll have refreshments here, some things that folks can enjoy. We want the parents of these young people to come and spend the time with them here, and then at the end of the night, we've got a rock climbing wall that will be right here on the property, a portable rock climbing wall. It's got four sides on it, all the stuff in place. And even big people and little people can get on the rock climbing wall. So if you're of a mind to do that, then come on out this Thursday. And if not, come out and watch everybody else try to get up that thing. The kids, I know, will be excited about it. This is really the first time I've mentioned it publicly. Miss Kim Barker has been working hard on getting that arranged, and she finally got it nailed down on Friday. And so I'm thankful for her effort doing that. We have meetings right after the service. I need everybody that's working in VBS, if you're serving this year in VBS, I need you to meet right up here in the front. I guess the best place is just right over here. That's kind of our default meeting place. But right over here, you're going to get your T-shirt that you'll wear every night. And then if your section leader needs to spend a little time just going over some things, then they'll have a chance to do that. We can break apart and do those things. I know that the personal workers that are working with the kids, I'll spend a few minutes with you. If you didn't get the email that has the training video, it's 11 minutes, training video, won't take long. It's just a little bit longer than I've been up here already, so it won't take you long, but you need to watch that before you show up tomorrow night. But we're going to have a great week, and if you can't be here, we need your prayers. You can participate. We need prayers for safety. We need prayers for the Lord to move. We want kids to get saved, to understand they can make a difference in the Lord's work. They don't have to wait till they're old folks. They can make a difference now. So pray that God's blessing will be upon us in that. Also, Horizons, this Saturday, we're going to go airboating. We're going to meet at 5:30 at Red Robin down in Sanford, then go airboating from there. Cost you $10 to go airboating. You can't beat that deal. If you want to ride with us, we'll meet here at 5 o'clock. Thank you. As Brother Aaron mentioned, the Scribe event, August 27th, the choir is involved with that. The choir is involved. So we need you to be, if you would like to help in the choir ministry, and that would be a wonderful opportunity to be involved with him as an historic event. This is the first of its kind ever. And so if you would like to help with that, we practice at 4:30 on Sunday afternoons, right there in the Activities Building. So come meet us today at 4:30 and get in the choir. Help us serve the Lord together. 336, there is a fountain filled with blood. Let's stand together as we sing 336.
You may be seated, and I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, if you will. While they're coming forward, I'd like Patty, would you stand? Would you stand? And Kenny, would you stand? He has on a blue shirt. She has on a blue dress. Isn't that sweet? They're celebrating 45 years of marriage today. All right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And Vonda, good to see you back in church today. God bless your heart. Good to see you there. You and Betty sitting there side by side. Everything's back to normal. It seems like everything's good. Other folks have been out and sick, but back in service today. We're delighted you're here. Thank you for coming. And what a good day to be in the Lord's house. I want you to know that I'm not trying to belabor a point today, but last Sunday was God and Country Day, and this has been a traumatic week in our country with the news, and I am going to speak from a scripture that addresses that somewhat, and I hope that you'll give attention to it. And already purpose in your heart to do what God would have for you to do and speak to your heart about that. Tonight at 6 o'clock in the service, we're going to have a dedication time for the VBS workers for this week. Ask God's blessing upon them. And we maybe ought to have a special time of prayer. Nobody gets hurt on the rock wall. Climbing the rock wall. How can that be fun? I don't know, but I guess it is. And if you're looking to me and you're going to come and watch people climb the rock wall, you're not going to watch this fella. He's not going to be on that wall. I'm not even going to let him put one of them suits on me and swing from the end of the rope. I'm not going to do that. But it'll be a good time. The kids will enjoy it. We'll all enjoy it, and we'll trust God will meet with us in a very, very special way and work in the hearts of these young people that God will bless and work in a wonderful, wonderful way this week. Well, my heart is heavy this week, and after the event in Dallas, I don't know what else to say about that, the event in Dallas, and black men being shot, I do not know the outcome of what that will be. I do not know the motivations of that. I do not know what will take place in that. But I did this week take time to text and call some of the police officers who were here in our service last week to assure them that our prayers were for them and for their departments. I wrote to my son-in-law, who was a long-term officer with the Athens-Clarke County Police Department, and I assured him of my prayers and how proud I was of him as my son-in-law and the father of three of my grandchildren and the grandfather of two of my great-grandchildren. And I appreciate Vaughn and his love for the Lord and his service for the Lord and his faithfulness to the Lord and his conscientiousness in what he does. And doesn't say much about it any more than, like others of you that were in the military, say much about the experience there. Doesn't say a whole lot about it. But he wrote back to me and said, he said, it's an interesting thing. He said, an hour ago I was cussed out by a very affluent lady because her husband had received a ticket. And she said other people had done it and they didn't get caught. And why did he get a ticket? And he said, then I was, well, he got a ticket because he got caught. That's why he got, you know. And I remember the time this week. I remember the time. And you can tell my heart's kind of bent this direction today. But I remember a time in Decatur, Georgia, 35 years ago, I had left a bank. I think I'd pulled out of the bank parking lot. I was heading back toward the church, and lights behind me. And I pulled over. And whenever I pulled over, I knew what I was going to be asked for. And so I started looking for my license. And I started looking in the seat beside me and so forth like that. I rolled the window down, and the fellow stopped at my back fender. He said, put your hands on the wheel. And I heard him, but I didn't do that. And I looked in my side view mirror, and his hand was on his hip. He said, put your hands on the wheel. I said, oh. And I didn't realize how close I came to being shot. I came that close to being shot. He came up to the window. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I was looking for my driver's license. He said, from where I stood, it looked like you were looking for a gun. And, you know, I realized the seriousness of not obeying authority. Instant obedience. Instant obedience. And that was 35 years ago. That was 35 years ago. At least that long, maybe 40. Can't remember that long ago. But hard day. It's a hard day in which we live. People with lives on the line and respond, and, you know, Mistakes are made, and sometimes sincere mistakes, and I trust not vicious mistakes, but hard days. And there's a fine line. And it's not an easy job. It's not easy work. As I pray for the offering today, you'll excuse me if I pray for those who serve and who stand in that place.
Amen.
Father, I know that many, many folks here in this congregation know and have friends, perhaps relatives, as we do, that serve in police forces. And Father, I pray for them today. I know that when something happens like happened in Dallas, it is not just affect that police department. It affects police departments all over this nation. And Father, whenever 911 calls are made and police respond, and the calls are made with the idea of getting an officer into a place where they're vulnerable and open to attack while they're attempting to respond to help someone. It's a hard situation, Lord. Father, I pray you'll give them wisdom to react properly to situations. Father, I just pray you'll help those people in those places to be honest before you and be honest before each other. Father, I ask that you will guard and guide and protect those who serve in that way. And Father, I know they understand the explosiveness of a wrong decision. And Father, I pray you'll help and help the decisions to be good and to be right, though they're made instantaneously. Now, Father, we thank you for this time together in this place today. I thank you that we can still meet together like this. Father, in this country, to this point, in most places, we can still invite others to be here with us. And I pray that we will buy up the opportunity that we have. We'll certainly answer to you for how we use the opportunity that you have given us. Now, Lord, we pray as we come to this time of worshiping you and giving, that it will be a time that we humble our hearts before you and recognize you and worship you and adore you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's fitting after that that we sing. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. But before we do, I want to ask Sandra Crowe to come up here. And I'm not sure everything. Let me get this other microphone. Yeah, there it is on here. Dear Sandra, it says from Benjamin Burks, International Director of RU, Reformers Unanimous, our program we have here of recovery from many things. But says, Dear Sandra, thank you for sending your testimony. We're always amazed how God brings everyone to the knowledge of our own needs and closer to Him. We praise Him for the victory in your children's lives, but also in your own. This is the Upholds Discipleship Course Certificate of Achievement from Reformers Unanimous International. Takes pleasure in presenting Sandra Crowe the award for completion of the Upholds Discipline Course. And I say, as your pastor, Sandra, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
And you got all your little badges and all your, whatever they are, medals and all that kind of stuff. See, you even have your name, so you don't forget who you are.
That's right.
Okay, all right, very good. And congratulations,
thank
Sandra. Thank you so very much.
That pray for me, and I would like to, but I want it to be God's will that I finish this. Got one more book, but I want to be a counselor in this program.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, that's a good achievement for Sandra, and we're thankful for her. That's wonderful. Let's stand together, if you will, and let's sing I'm So Glad. I'm so glad I'm a part. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We say brother and sister around here. That's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory. In this family so dear. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I've been washed in the blood,
cleansed by shake hands in just a second. But last Sunday, I got to take my hat off to Samuel Jackson.
Amen.
Okay. Samuel had all these candidates in here running for sheriff, and he had his word with them. Now, that was not planned, and I didn't know where he was going when he got up. Fact is, whenever you got up, Samuel, I thought you were running for office. I didn't know. But somebody said, we're going to give the Citizens Award for God and Country Day to you. I don't know, something like that. But I thought that was good. It's good to have Samuel's part of this family and the family of God here at Volusia County Baptist Church. I want you to greet those around you while the choir comes down when we get ready for the preaching. And I hope you'll do that as the instruments play, and we'll sing the chorus again in a moment.
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family, the family of God. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Melanie, we'll let them settle down a little bit before you start, okay? Okay. There you go.
Well, what a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. I hope all of you, all of us, will get a handful of these cards and use them. This is the scribe. They're on the back tables. Send them to people. Send them to people all over the nation, all over the world, because what goes on here that night will be available everywhere that there is internet service. And so I hope you'll do that. Invite folks to your home. Invite folks to watch everywhere. It would be wonderful. What I'm really praying for locally is that if we could have 1,000 to 1,500 people locally, that would entail 600-800 computers probably logged on here in our immediate area. That would be a good thing. But all over the world, it will be available. And so I hope you'll do that. Get that, and let's make this event something good. It's all about the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, and the sacrifice that was made. The title of the message this morning is a question. How did we ever get in such a mess? Psalm 33:12, which is generally read on July the 4th weekend or on Memorial Day or sometime like that, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." God deals with individuals. And there are individual responsibilities. And there are individual promises to us as individuals. There are individual expectations and requirements. But there are also national things that God deals with nations. Now, of course, the nation in this particular passage in Psalm 33 that David had in mind whenever God gave him that, I think David's, perhaps his perspective was more limited than God's. David's perspective was the nation of Israel, the nation over whom he ruled. But God's perspective was much larger than that. God's perspective was in any nation. In fact, if you read Psalm 33, you'll find God says to all the earth, not just the Middle East, not just Israel, but all the earth. So any nation anywhere in the world that has the Lord for their God is a blessed nation. This nation that has God, their God, the Lord. Now, the Lord, blessed is a nation whose God, the one they worship, the one they recognize as deity, is Jehovah. And the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And you can just write that down. That's a truth. And a nation who has Jehovah as their deity, that nation will build their legal system around the legal principles of the Word of God. In other words, the Lord's Word. They will build their legal system around that. They will hold their leaders to a standard of righteousness that is based on the Word of God. That nation will move toward a system of justice and truth and equality of people in that nation and deal with them equally without regard to education, culture, skin color, financial status. They will deal with them equally. Now, does that happen just like that, and does that happen consistently? No, it does not. But it moves that direction. It trends that direction. Is such a nation perfect? Of course not. Because they do not have perfect leaders and we do not have perfect citizens. So it's not a perfect nation. Have we held as a nation, have we always done righteously in all of those regards? No, we have not. But there is a recognition of the God of the Bible as our God. There has been that. And there's a recognition of the Bible as our God's Word, the Word of our God, on which we should base our life. Now, when we have not followed that, and when we have gone astray from that, and when we have not done righteously, we have suffered the consequences of that. We have suffered the consequences of war. We have suffered the consequences of natural devastation. We have suffered the consequences of disease. We have suffered because of that. And that's the way it's going to be as a nation. A nation whose God is the Lord. But because the nation has had the God of the Bible as our deity that we have been identified with throughout the world, we have been a blessed people. Now, if anyone says, now hear me clearly on this, if anyone says that this nation was not founded with an identity of the God of the Bible as our deity, if they say that was not the basis of this country, that's not the way it was, it just was not like that. There was no recognition of any particular deity. Now they recognized that there was a deity, but there was no particular deity. If they say that, one of two things is true. They are either ignorant or they are purposely deceptive. Right. Now, if they're ignorant, a person, quite honestly, could be ignorant of that. I read this week of 57 major colleges in these colleges and universities in this nation. Of 57, they looked at 57 of the top universities and colleges in this nation that offer a degree in history. Of the 57 they looked at, only 23 require U.S. history to be part of their courses to graduate with a degree in history. How can you graduate from university in this country with a degree in history without being required to take the history of our country? And yet, it seems that there is an attempt. It doesn't seem there is. It doesn't just seem that there is. There is an attempt to rewrite the history of our nation. And we're going to come to the reason for that. Now, we've been through ups and downs in this nation. And the ups have been directly related to our adherence to the Word of God and our recognition and worship of the God of this book. Our downs have been directly related to our turning from God and disobeying the statements of God's book. In the 1960s, our nation was turned from God. We had turned from God in the 60s. We had rioting in the streets that make what's happening today look like child's play.
We had cities burning. On television, on the news, they would show Southside Chicago, Detroit, L.A., burning, absolutely buildings burning down, rioting and looting, all under the banner of love and peace. And everybody was... In the mid-70s and into the early 80s, and it's hard to put a timeline exactly on that because it depends on where you were, but there was a time of revival in this country. I'm talking about a time of turning to God. There was a time of soul winning. It was probably, in those years, was probably one of the greatest times of church building in this nation. Now, there were a lot of mistakes made in that because of the enthusiasm of it. And of course, the mistakes that were made received great headlines because there were churches that went in debt and over-indebted themselves and went bankrupt and people suffered and I was in places. But you're looking at a fellow today. Your pastor is a product of that time. And there are others here I know who are a product of that time, of what took place in those meetings. And it was not localized in a particular area, and it was not localized with a particular group. It was many, many things went together for that. But though there was a great recovery, the recovery was not to the level that it should have been and that it could have been. Because in that time, at the same time, there was revival going on and souls were being saved, there was still an undercurrent of rebellion against God and a turning from the Word of God. And in that time, prayer and Bible reading were removed from the classroom. They were removed from the school. Now, that hasn't been that long ago. And if you look at a chart, whenever I was in school, one of the biggest offenses in school that where I was, and I remember some of the assemblies dealing with it in our little school up in West Virginia, there were 6, 8, 10 guys that would stand around the outside campus, just right on the border of campus, and smoke cigarettes. And that was, boy, you know. And everybody knew, oh, those guys, you know, I knew who he's talking about. You know, I mean, we could call their names. We all knew them. It's different now. The Bible was taken out of the public sector. Though we were identified with God, we refused that God. And that undercurrent kept working until revival kind of died down and we settled. We settled into comfortable places like this. You see, some of you here remember when Volusia County Baptist Church was not particularly a comfortable place to come to. In a little room with plastic injection chairs. You know, those chairs that are all over the world. No matter where you see pictures from all over the world, you see those plastic form chairs. You see, they're everywhere. I don't know how many millions of those things were made, but they're everywhere. We had those. And we had some folding chairs. Then we got this property and we moved into a building. We moved into a building that the pews were probably 3 or 4 different colors. and the carpet was worn out, and the lighting in it was 8-foot fluorescent tubes. No window dressing on the windows. It was not the most comfortable place. But it was exciting. It was exciting. But then, just like everyone else, sometimes we get comfortable. We're comfortable. We liked our music. Other people came in from other places, maybe not have liked it as much, but we liked it. We liked it. George was our congregational song leader. Most of the time we didn't have a piano player before we moved down here. Becky wasn't here. We didn't have a piano player. We started with instruments. We've always had the instruments. George has always been here. But what was happening in this place was generally true in the nation. Some years ago, I went to the Philippines. We had helped that ministry there in the Philippines, and I went for the opening of of this huge building that just a pole barn is what it was, but it worked really, really well. And I went there and I watched them, and I watched as I remembered how we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I remembered my youth of how it was. You know, in here, we expect the sound system to be boom. And if you get a little, like everybody goes, ooh, what happened, what happened, what happened. Man, in the 50s, it was just part of life. There was not a service that didn't happen. That was just part of life. It was just how we lived. We were just thrilled to have a PA system. Our ties didn't match our suits very well. And our socks were not always, you know, matching our suits. And we weren't particularly caring about whether we had on blue socks with black suits or whatever. Now, is there anything wrong with our ties matching our suits? No. No. Is there anything holy about them not matching? No. No. Nothing like that. I'm just saying that it is not our enjoying the comfort of a place and the way we look, that's not what does it. Abortion. Abortion became a method of birth control, and adultery became an accepted lifestyle. The home degenerated to the point that our government cannot define marriage. They don't know what marriage is. I read this week this Kim Davis up in Kentucky, this clerk of the court in this county in Kentucky who they jailed because she would not grant marriage license to a same-sex couple. That some guy is suing her now because he went to get a marriage license. He wanted to marry his laptop computer. Now, I don't know whether that's right or not, but it seemed to have credibility. It was from a credible source. And if you read those things, you know, there's crazy stuff like that all over the place. Craziness. Absolute craziness. We deny that we are God's creation, and we seem to not understand that when we deny that God created us, we take away the meaning and purpose of life. Because if God didn't create us, we have no accountability. And if we have no accountability, my opinions are as valid as your opinions. And your opinions are as valid as my opinions. And everybody's opinion is right to them. And they have as much right to that, and they have as much right to promote and defend their opinion as I have right to promote and defend my opinion. And so consequently, there is no moral, there's no moral standard. There's no mooring. There's nothing we can anchor to. And it's very evident that it's like that. And our leaders, whenever we have like things that have happened this week, with the shooting in Dallas, with the shootings in other places, and with last weekend, 60 shootings in Chicago. On Friday night in Chicago, there were 16 shootings in Chicago. And our leaders get on television and stand behind their podiums in all their dignity, and I'm not degrading anyone, and wring their hands and say, "Why can't we all just get along?" Now, whatever has been said, and whatever ideas people have come up with, I must tell you that what they're saying is not working. And it seems like they're really willing to try anything except God and the Bible. Anything but that. Now I'm going to the book of Jeremiah. And I'm going to finish this quickly. But I'm going to come to verse 28. I'm going to read verses 25 through 28. Of Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. I break into this, and I'd like to read the entire chapter, but I will not do that. But he comes to this place where Jeremiah is preaching to the nation. Now, I don't know whether he had a crowd this large or not. I do know some things. I know he didn't have a sound system. I know he didn't have air conditioning. I know he didn't have live stream. And I know he wasn't able to say, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. But he had a message for the nation. I do not know how large was the crowd that he preached to. But he gave the message to those that were there. Verse 25, he says, since the day your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. It's interesting that he doesn't say, I sent the priests. He said, I sent the prophets. Yet they hearkened not unto me. How did they not hearken unto him? They hearkened not unto God because they did not hearken to those that he had sent. How do you know if they're sent from God? If they say what God has said. That's how you know. Some people say, well, your Bible, you know, you talk about Muslims, and you talk about how bad they are because they call us infidels. Don't you call people infidels? Sure we do. An infidel is an unbeliever. From our standpoint, from the standpoint of a Bible-believing Christian and a preacher, a person who does not believe the Bible and does not believe in God is an infidel. From the Muslim standpoint, a person who does not follow Allah, acknowledge the Prophet Muhammad, and follow the Quran and believe the Quran is an infidel. So what are you? How are you any different than them? Let me tell you how we're different than them. Take it to the next step. How do you react to an infidel? According to our book, the way we react to an infidel is with love and compassion and an opportunity to experience God's love by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. How does their book say you respond to an infidel? You see, there is a difference. There is a difference. God said, I sent my prophets to you. I sent them to you. Yet they hearken not unto me, verse 26, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Now I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, it's a frustrating thing. Whenever God says, you preach this, they won't listen to you, but preach it. They won't heed it. But preach it. That's my responsibility. They shall not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Number one, you see the direct disobedience. We see it in children. You see it in homes. You see it in individuals. You see it in relationship to the law. You see it in the classroom. You see it everywhere, direct disobedience. And you see it in individuals in their reaction to God, direct disobedience. Now, they have a reason for it. The reason for it is, well, I just don't feel like that, or I'm a little embarrassed about that, or this and this. Well, you ought to do this, and this is what God says. Well, you know, I know this is what God says, but you know, that's kind of, I'm just kind of not like that, you know. I'm kind of quiet and reserved, and, you know, I'm just not like that. But it's disobedience. I think I can say this without the individual involved being in here. But Aaron was having a very serious talk with their youngest one, Adeline, the other day. And he said, you know, Adeline, we all have things we need to work on. He said, I have things I need to work on. And you have things you need to work on, don't you? She said, no, I don't think so. He said, you mean you don't have anything you need to work on? Everything's, you got pretty well. She said, yeah, I've got it. Everything's pretty well worked out. I've got it. You know, I've got it. Everything's under control. And that's the way we feel. I don't think her parents would agree with that. And I know her siblings would not agree with that. But as a nation, we have disobeyed God. We've disobeyed God in the matter of human life. It's a sad situation in our country. I do not understand the conflict. How they do not see this as a conflict. That you can be for abortion
and against capital punishment. I don't understand that. You can approve of the taking of an innocent life, and yet be adamant in your stand to extend the life of a villain, of someone who's proved themselves unworthy of life according to the Bible.
Amen.
I don't understand how you can, as a human being, and I respect life. I respect life. I don't kill ants just for the joy of killing them. I don't do that. Now, other people might, I don't have any problem with that. They're ants. Okay? Now, mosquitoes, I can kill them with joy. But to see the value that people place on animal life, and the total disregard of human life, and rip a child from the womb at any stage of development. We disregard and disobey God in the matter of finances. Our nation has disobeyed God financially. We are trillions of dollars in debt. That's absolutely against the principles of the Word of God and how God says to work. Our nation has recklessly disregarded that, and everybody elected to office in Congress, in Senate, in the executive branch of government, everybody promises, makes commitments to that, and it never happens. It's a violation. And we're reaping that. And that reaping is not going to stop shortly. We disregard God in worship. Our nation, and this comes down to churches. We do not seem to care what the Bible says about how God is to be worshiped, but we do what we feel good about doing and worship God the way we want to worship God. Not the way God says, the way he's supposed to be worshipped. How can we do that and expect God to say, oh, isn't that sweet? How cute? Sexual activity is to be within the bonds of marriage relationship between a man and a woman. Sexual activity outside the marriage relationship is forbidden by God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If we would just obey God, this, though, is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God. Now, it goes from deliberate and direct disobedience. The next statement is defiant behavior.
defiant behavior. Thou hast not obeyed, nor received correction. Have they received correction? Has God done things to correct this nation? Yes. If you have your Bible open to the book of Jeremiah, if you would turn back to chapter 3, verse 5. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 3. O Lord, are not thy eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. It's a marvelous picture in chapter 32, verse 33. God says, when I corrected them, they turned their back to me. Did you ever have to say to a child, look at me? Look at me. I saw a political cartoon supposedly representing God from in heaven down toward the earth. And he's got his hands to his mouth and he hollers, stop it! Now, if you're a parent like, you know, all the books say to be, like, you know, everything like this, which I'm sad that I wasn't like all the books say, if you read all the books, you'll just get frustrated and not do anything. But I like to look at my kids when I corrected them. And sometimes it was just the look. I like to look. Do you understand me? Our oldest one, Becky, called him. Alan, come here. Alan said, I can't come yet. Dad's not finished staring at me. But if you've ever had a child that whenever you're talking to them in correction and dealing with them, that's what our nation has done to God. You know what that says? That says, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. They've hardened their face against God. They will not receive correction. Dearly beloved, in our country, we think whatever disease that comes that is associated with sin, if we throw enough money at it, we can figure out a way to continue in sin without the results of the disease. We've been pretty good at that. There have been some hard ones come up. They're dealing with some right now. Diseases that are direct result of sin. But we're going to figure out how to keep on sinning and avoid the disease. But there are some diseases of sin that cannot be cured by a pill or an injection or a multiplicity of pills. And we're reaping the rewards of that. We're reaping the rewards and authority that is reacting to things that are perhaps not meant to be intimidating, but they perceive as being intimidated because they're operating from a standpoint of fear. And somehow, you're to blame for it. I'm to blame for it. This is to blame for it. And God is to blame for it. We blame Him. How in our city, in Orlando, how in Orlando can a Muslim man who claims allegiance to the Islamic State and the leaders of the Islamic State, how can he get himself into a gay and lesbian club, take over that place, and in the name of Allah and Muhammad and pledging allegiance to the Islamic State, kill 50 people, 49 people. And somehow, it's the fault of conservative Christians. Somehow we're to blame for that. I don't understand that. Maybe I'm not supposed to. But the last statement of the verse is this: truth is perished, and it is cut off from their mouth. Sometimes I say to somebody, and I, not often, but this is deliberate rebellion. This is deliberate rebellion. You wouldn't know the truth if it walked up and slapped you in the face. I've dealt with a fellow who has no connection to this church, but who, because of some of my responsibilities in other places, I've had to encounter and had to deal with, who lies so much, he doesn't know he's lying. He's told this lie so many times he believes it. And this has happened in our nation, that it's come to that point. In the book of Isaiah preaching, in chapter 59 of Isaiah, in verse 15, verse 14, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. If you don't do wrong, you become a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. A number of years ago, a song was written. Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told, how that Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. And the second verse kind of describes where we are. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still, some people doubt He'll ever come again. But the Word of God is true, and He'll redeem His chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon, Christ Jesus shall descend. The orchestra played a while ago, "Our Hope is in the Lord." Now, how do you walk it back? How do you walk it back? Here it is. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to respond to the invitation, you're going to respond quick today. And I'm perfectly happy to not give an invitation. But it seems like there ought to be an opportunity. For those here today who never trusted Christ as their Savior, to get that thing settled. How do you go backward
from defiance. How do you go backwards? From deliberate disobedience. How do you go back from where we are? I cannot take this nation back, but I can't take anything back unless I move back. We've somehow, though I decry where we are as a nation, it must come down to individual responsibility. I must take some responsibility for my world, for who I am and where I am, and for my responsibility. And if I must do that, you must do that also. Do we move back to where, instead of turning our back against God, we turn our face toward God? And say, okay, God, speak to me. Speak to me. What a delight it is to a parent's heart whenever that rebellion, that lying on the part of a child melts away and they turn around and they say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it goes from that melting away to an acceptance of what you have said and an obedience to your commands and instructions. That's got to happen to us individually. And if it doesn't happen to us individually, it's never going to happen to us as a nation. Where does it start? It starts with me. But it's not just this me, it's that me. Let's walk it back. Let's start speaking truth. True things, but this truth. This truth. Let's turn our face back toward God. And let's begin obeying once again His slightest command. God says, get baptized. Get baptized. Does that make sense? Amen. Well, certainly it makes sense. Well, I don't want to get baptized. Yeah, I know I've been saved, and I got saved after I was baptized. But, you know, you feel like that, but I don't, I know what the Bible says. I know you show me those verses and everything like that, but I just don't. You know, I don't think that's important. Well, it's not that I think it's important. I didn't write it. It's not my priority. Obey God about being in the church God wants you to be in. You say, well, I don't want to walk down front. Jesus didn't want to walk up Calvary either. I don't want to walk up in front of all those people. Oh, my soul. Wouldn't it be awful? I don't think it's going to stand. Don't think that's going to stand. Don't think that's excusable. You say, well, preacher, is it that big a deal? I'm just saying, if it's a big deal to obey God, obey God. Just obey Him. Whatever He says. If you're watching things on TV you ought not watch, stop it! If you're listening to music you ought not listen to, stop it. If you're stealing money, stop it. Obey God. We'll stand together. If there's anybody here today wants to trust Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior,
Dearly beloved, it's time to do that. It's time to do that. If you've got a decision that God's spoken to your heart about, or if you just want to come spend some time in prayer for yourself, for the church, for our country, you feel free to do that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If God's spoken to your heart, you come as the instruments play.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Folks are still here praying. Maybe you didn't come forward. Perhaps it's something that God is dealing with your heart about, though. Please don't leave this room without doing exactly what Pastor said. Lord, I surrender. I surrender with what you have told me in my heart, what I heard during the message and what I heard in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Let him have that victory today. Tell him so. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the preaching of your holy word. Bless your man. Lord, use him mightily, I pray, even tonight as he preaches. Lord, I thank you for the victories that have been won today. I pray now that we will continue to serve you. Lord, bless these that are perhaps to be baptized in just a moment, or Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing in our church, in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much.
Well, we have a lady coming today to receive believer's baptism. She's been visiting here in this area and has trusted Christ as her Savior. And she's leaving tomorrow to go back to Costa Rica, to home. And it is my prayer, and I trust that you will pray for her, that God will bless her and use her in a very special way. And thanks so much for the Von Lowes and their impact and her being here visiting with them and for the opportunity that she has had. I hope you will be back tonight if you can at all. I do not ask that you feel burdened because I'm burdened, but I do feel that I must open my heart and my burden to you as a church because God has given me that responsibility. And I pray that our prayers will not be just while we're here in this place, but that it will be daily. And that we'll spend time in the Word of God. And that, can I ask you just love each other? Just get along with each other. Just be kind to one another. I spoke Thursday night. I spoke on
good works and our duty in this matter of good works. And we just need to be nice to each other. Amen. We just really do. And would we just not look as, and I know this is hard to get past sometimes, whichever direction it's going, it's hard to get past looking with suspicion at one another. I told you about a guy I met in Petersburg, West Virginia, just out knocking on doors. And I told him I was a preacher. He said, I didn't tell him I was a preacher. He told me about preachers. I never did tell him I was a preacher. Whenever he told me what he thought about preachers, he said all preachers are crooks. They're all just a bunch of crooks. They just get a bunch of people together and take their money, and they're just all crooks. Just all crooks. I said, well, you know, some of them probably are crooks, and some of them probably are. I said, but I don't think all of them are. Yeah, I said, do you think every one of them are? Everyone, every preacher is? He said, well, maybe not everyone. But he probably thought I was. If he'd have known I was a preacher, he'd have probably thought I was. But, oh, well. Darlene, God bless your heart. Be careful walking in here now. And we don't want you to break a leg and not be able to go home.
Bad enough to fell twice.
Okay. Just turn right around. There you go. Just have a seat. Darlene, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes.
And are you trusting Jesus Christ as your own Savior?
Yes.
And now you want to follow Him in believer's baptism?
Yes.
Amen. If you rejoice with her, would you let her know it by saying amen?
Amen.
And here's what we're going to do. I don't know that we've ever done this before while you're sitting here in the water. But it's not cold, is it?
No, it's
no? Very nice? Okay, it's very nice. Okay. Okay. We're going to sing Welcome to the Family, all right? Because we welcome you to the family of God. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to the family of God. Let's take your glasses off until afterwards, okay? Okay. Darlene, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your own Savior, and in obedience to God and God's command, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hands over your nose and mouth. Buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. And it has been done as the Lord's command. Let's stand together if you will. Donovan, would you come to the platform? This is Donovan Stewart. This is he and his wife, Becky. Becky is Tom and Fran Pouch's daughter. And, of course, Tom has been going through a very difficult time. But Donovan, you still on the force?
Yes, sir.
This is a police officer. He looks like a police officer, doesn't he? I want you to dismiss us in prayer today. And God bless you and all those who serve as you do. I want you to pray for us and ask God's blessing on us.
Our Father, we want to thank you for your goodness upon our life. God, we do thank you for the message preached today. Thank you for the truth that was found therein. God, I pray that you will continue, Father, to touch our lives and help us as a nation to draw back to you. Father God, we know that our only hope is in repentance, God, and faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we cannot expect those who are not saved, they're not Christians, to act like Christians. But, Father God, we know that those of us, the remnant, those who are Christ followers, we should be the salt and the light, Father. I pray, God, for our police departments, both locally and around the country. Pray that you'll bless each and every one, God. Please keep them safe, God. Pray for those officers not to be in a place of discouragement, but help them to know that more people are standing with them than standing against them. God, I pray for those who have lost their lives recently. Pray that those families would know that they're in our thoughts and prayers. And God, we know that somehow, some way, that you're in the business of turning ashes into beauty. You take our brokenness and turn them into hallelujahs. So, Father God, I pray that your name will be high and lifted up. Pray for this church, God. I pray you'll continue to bless it. We are always excited to see what's taking place here. Thank you, God, for the lady who was baptized today, her step of obedience, publicly pronouncing her faith in Jesus. Bless her as she goes back to her home. May she be a gospel witness for you. God bless us as we go our separate ways, and I pray your hand will be upon us, and I pray that we'd see ourselves as missionaries doing your work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
BBS workers right down front, please, as quick as you can get here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm glad you could join us by way of live stream, and I trust that your heart was challenged today. Wherever you are, I know many of you who watch are in other places other than in the United States, but pray for our country. I think of the difficulties and the hard time that the UK is going through right now, and I know we have people there who are watching today. And we pray for you and pray for the situation there and the unknown path that lies ahead for you. And seemingly so many voices that are voiced against your direction. But God will bless and God will guide and take care of you. And pray for us here. I trust you'll do that. And our nation needs the Lord. And we as a people need the Lord. We recognize that. I want to thank you for being with us today at the home place, and I hope that you will bear with us as we try to work through what the Lord puts on our hearts about this matter of things that are happening in our country. But I'm glad you've joined us. I hope you will next week, and I hope you'll join us throughout the week, even tonight. We'll be back together here at 6 o'clock on the Eastern Daylight Saving Time, and so if you can be with us, we'd love to have you, and of course, every service. God bless you. Pray for us. And we pray for you.